Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namah Sri Chaitana Manavastam Stapitam Jena Gurudeva Svayam Rupa Kada Maitam Prasita. We've had an overview of devotional service and its characteristics in the first wave. In the second wave, we've been introduced to the three stages of bhakti, namely sadhana, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. We've learned of the two kinds of sadhana bhakti, namely Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Raganuga sadhana bhakti. And now in this chapter, chapter 3, we'll learn about eligibility for accepting devotional service. Srila Prabhupada begins by summarizing a verse, Ya kenapyati padyena jata shradhosya sevano nati sakto na vairagya bhag asyam adhikarya sav. This is Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada says, the word atipadyena means by special impressions arising from association with devotees. That's how one develops faith. Ya kena pyatipadyena jata shraddho asya sevana. A person who has developed faith in Seva, serving the Lord. He's a qualified candidate for Vaidhi Bhakti. How does that faith come? Prabhupada says, on account of his association with Mahatmas, or great souls, 100% in the devotional service of the Lord, one may attain a little bit of attraction for Sri Krishna. That was another, this Shraddha word, Prabhupada sometimes gives attraction. He has a little bit of attraction. Interest. Faith, interest, attraction. You know, when you have a little faith in something, a little interest in something, that's how you get started. You know, you have a little bit of faith in Kung Fu or something. Or a little bit of interest. A little attraction. That's what gets you going to the kung fu place and, you know, maybe taking classes or at least inquiring, buying a book or whatever it is. You have a little interest. Why do you have a little interest? You have a little faith. There must be something to it. A little attraction. It looks interesting. So if someone has that little bit of attraction or faith in Krishna consciousness or devotional service, why? Atibhagyena. Because of special good fortune by the association of devotees. Then Prabhupada says, still one may have, one may remain very much attached to fruitive activities and material sense enjoyment and not be prepared to undergo the different types of renunciation. But still, if he has attraction to Krishna, he's a candidate. So, adau shraddha. The beginning is to have that faith or interest, that initial interest that one gets by the causeless mercy of association with devotees. In the original verse, it says that a person is eligible if he's not too attached to material things and he's not too renounced either. Nati sakto navairagya bhag. If he's too attached to material things, he'll never take interest in Krishna consciousness. What is that? Prahlad says? Those who are materya na krishne pratatas satova. Then, mito vipadyeta grihavritana. Those who've just taken a vow, I'm going to enjoy. Yeah, they're never going to get it. Bhogai shaya prasaktanam taya paritachetasam vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhonadhidhita. You know, they're not going to go very far. Because they're convinced material life is where it's at. Of course, even such persons, by the causeless mercy of a devotee, just like that hunter, he became a devotee. By the causeless mercy of a devotee, even the materially attached persons may get some attraction to Krishna consciousness. But otherwise, therefore, a person who's not too attached to material things, how is he not too attached to material? He must have got the mercy of a devotee. So that somehow or other, now he's not too attached and he's attracted. And not too renounced. What's too renounced?
Mm-hmm. He gives up the use of senses and emotions which he can actually, which he needs for the service of Krishna.
That, yes. And what else?
He doesn't want to live in a temple but in a forest.
Yeah, that may also be there. He's so renounced that he's, you know, just going to be off in a hole. What else?
So renounced.
That also, he becomes too proud, I'm so renounced.
And that's why he's not associating too much with the devotees.
Yeah?
Because
and he becomes. Mm-hmm.
He gives up emotion.
Yeah? He becomes. Yes?
Might be impersonalist.
Excuse me?
Might be impersonalist.
Yeah. Especially, you know, this renunciation, you know, he's a dry renouncer that everything is false. Prakashananda Saraswati. What are these sentimental people chanting and dancing? What are they doing? You know, they should be going after liberation. To renounce. Renounced Krishna. You know, renounced the prospect of personal existence. You know, they've renounced their individuality. That's to renounce. Given up this. The idea that keep maintaining your personal, they're so frustrated that keeping your personal identity isn't worth it. Just annihilate it and get free from misery. That's too renounced. Therefore, Prabhupada comments sometimes in Nectar Devotion that too much, that excessive renunciation may be unfavorable to the worshipping soul. We say that renunciation is favorable, but too much, not good. Okay, so this comes by, this attraction, is we know, comes by the association of pure devotees. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Piyush. Now Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse spoken by Lord Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yadrichaya mat katadao jata shad postu yakuman. Na nirvinno nati sakto bhakti yogosya siddhidana. This is a confirmation. Rupa Goswami has made a statement and now he's confirming it. This is the process in spiritual life to confirm your assertions by evidence. So he's quoting evidence from the 11th canto. If somehow by good fortune one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, then such a person who's not too disgusted with, not too disgusted and not too attached to material life, should achieve perfection through loving devotion to me. Is that how it's quoted here? Yeah. The Prabhupada quotes it, only by exceptional fortune when someone becomes attracted to me, and even if not completely detached from fruitive activities, or not completely attached to devotional service, the service is quickly effective. So we see this in our practical preaching, or in Prabhupada's movement, the way he undertook his campaign, that it wasn't that everybody had to be a pure devotee, otherwise they couldn't get started. Prabhupada knew some material attachment would be there. Some material attachment would be there. But we can work with it. they're still candidates. Still candidates. They may have some material attachments. The Prabhupada has that poem that he wrote on the Jaladutta. He says that, in essence, that their hearts are all filthy dirty. But I'm sure that by hearing the message of Bhagavatam, there a change will come about. Shinbatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirti Vridyantaksto Vivadvani Vidruno Tisuruti. They'll become purified by hearing and chanting. Prabhupada expressed that confidence. In other words, they're candidates. Other people might look and say, these people, they're candidates. You know, they're not Brahmins, they're not even following, you know, the basic principles of decent human life. But Prabhupada said, well, they can be attracted. And if they can be attracted to hear, they can be purified. Then everything can change. And this is the power of pure devotional service. Any questions? Oh, we had some questions from yesterday. You're supposed to remind me. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question was about actually, we met this confusion of always remember Krishna and never forget him. Mm-hmm. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras are just servants of these two principles of like crunches, nothing like this. And then there's a strong statement, even if you completely neglect every one of the rules and regulations, we can achieve all the benedictions simply by always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. And like a symptom of this achievement is very, very happy, the happiness. So my question is, like, how much attraction or taste has to be there that we can really, that we are above rules and regulations?
Lots of attraction. If someone is, just like if someone has a PhD, it's understood that he doesn't have to attend, you know, high school classes. If you've got a PhD in mathematics, you don't have to sit in an arithmetic class, because you've already got a PhD. So if someone has unalloyed attraction to Krishna, he's always thinking of Krishna, he's never forgetting Krishna, he's on the Paramahamsa platform. Krishna says, for him there are no rules and regulations. Where's that in Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, it sounds about right. Let's see. Yep, you were exactly right. Yastvatma ritir eva syad atma triptas jamanava atmanyeva chasantushtas tasyakarya navidyate. For a person who's atmarati, who's taking pleasure in the Supreme Self, Atma-tripta, satisfied in the Supreme, Atmani-eva-chasantushta, happy within, tasya-karyam-navidyate, no prescribed duty for him. He has no prescribed duty. But then, naiva-tasya-kritena-arto, na-kritena-eha-kaschana, Nachasya Sarva Bhuteshu Kaschid Artavya Pashrita. Am I right? That's the verse that says he has no reason to perform prescribed duties. He also has no reason not to perform prescribed duties. Is that verse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got the book. You can read it.
Yeah. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill and discard the prescribed duties. No one has any reason not to.
You're above the rules and regulations, so you have no reason to perform them. You don't need to. On the other hand, you have no reason not to. Tasmad asakta satatam karyam karma samatra. Asakto yacharam karma paramapnoti guruja. Still, therefore, without being attached, one should always perform one's prescribed duties. And in that way attain the Supreme. Why? Whatever the leading person does, everyone else will do. You may not have to perform follow these rules and regulations, but if you don't do them, nobody else will follow them. You're you're the Paramahansa, you're the advanced soul. If you don't follow the rules and regulations, therefore we find the Goswami strictly following the rules and regulations. We find Srila Prabhupada following, you know, he was coming to class every day, he was, you know, greeting the deities, he was attending the, you know, he was doing everything. He didn't need to do that. Not that if he didn't attend the Darshanarthi, you know, his Krishna consciousness might waver. He's not a neophyte sadhaka. But just to set the example for everyone else. Is that okay? Was there another question? Yes?
This is actually connected to this, what we were discussing about Raganuga. But Raganuga, we got a very clear definition of what Raganuga means in the previous chapter. Raganuga is a spontaneous attraction to practice, devotional practice. You know? In our society, we also have strange ideas, you know, sometimes some devotees or people who are coming in our moment, you know, that sometimes they have ideas that Raganuga means, you know, today I want to chant 4 rounds, I will chant them for Krishna. So
that's not called Raganuga, that's called laxity.
My question is, from where is there any other description about Raganuga?
Yeah, we're going to come to that later. Raganuga, now we're in sadhana. After the description of sadhana bhakti, for what did we say, 15 chapters? Then we're going to come to Raganuga.
So there is a difference between these two? Or
yeah, there's a difference. There's a difference between following strictly the principles of sadhana bhakti so that you get lots of enthusiasm and therefore you become more enthusiastic about service. There's a difference between that and neglecting sadhana so badly that you become less enthusiastic. And then you pass it off as being your advancement. You know, because I'm advanced, I'm just chanting 4 rounds a day, just, you know, kind of show that I'm chanting, but I don't really need to chant. You know, get off it. You don't have any taste. That's why you're chanting 4 rounds a day. You don't have enough taste to chant, you know, 8 even, but to speak of 16. And you're trying to convince us that, you know, you're in Raganuga, the advanced stage of sadhana. You're not even on the, you know, well situated on the first stage. Yeah, please come to class with your mobile schedule. You're not even well situated in the first stage, and you're trying to bluff us into believing that you're situated on the second. Come on, we read Nectar Devotion. We know what's going on. You look at the advanced devotees, it's not that they're less than, they have a sponge. They love to pull out a Srimad Bhagavatam and hear and chant. You know, for the sadhakas, you have to attend the Bhagavatam class every morning. Without fail. Because Prabhupada said so, or your Guru Maharaj said so. That's vital. And Raganuga is, hey, let's pull out a Bhagavatam. You know, you already went to class, but now you have some spare time, or you just want to make some time, let's read Bhagavatam. That means you're more advanced. Not that, well, you know, I mean, who's giving Bhagavatam class? He's stupid. Okay. Yes?
Of course, the other extreme is that because I've done service for 9 years now, and for the distribution, I don't think I need to do any more service, so I just want to read and chant. Getting a little more.
Great if you can just read and chant, but who is going to read and chant? Great that you're reading and chanting, but are you really reading and chanting? Or something else is going on? Sometimes someone's been doing a lot of practical work and they feel, all right, let me do some chanting. You know, generally our book distribution programs have that built in. There's some time for the book distributors to hear and chant and, you know, get absorbed in what they're distributing. Again, it's not a symptom of an advanced devotee that he loses his enthusiasm for preaching. Prabhupada said, because I was enthusiastic, he said, my Guru Maharaj noted, this boy likes to hear. He said, and because I liked to hear, now I like to preach. Because I was enthusiastic about hearing, now I'm enthusiastic about preaching. And Shravanam Kirtan. It's not that, you know, the result of Shravanam is you lose your taste for Kirtan. Another point that came to my mind yesterday is we talked about vidhi and nished, the things that you should do and the things that you shouldn't do. And it occurred to me that that can be summarized very quickly also. What's the main thing you should do? Now we know there's two things, always remember Krishna and never forget. But in practical terms of things that will help you do that, yes. Yes. Chant Hare Krishna, that's the main thing Prabhupada mentions in Nectar Devotion. That will help us. And Nished?
Four
regulative principles. Prabhupada, basically, if you avoid these four things, you know, the other things that we shouldn't do will start collapsing also. And if we do this one thing, chant Hare Krishna, the other things will start coming up also. So therefore, Prabhupada had it at an initiation. You know, how many rounds will you chant? And what are the four principles that you promised to follow? Vidhi, Nishay. Okay. Now, as described before, what keeps someone going in Vaidhi Bhakti is the instructions of the scripture, either right from the book or from the spiritual master. You have to do this. So our knowledge of the scriptures and our faith in the scriptures has a lot to do with our eligibility to advance in devotional service. And we measure a person's standing in devotional service according to these two criteria, his knowledge and his faith. How can you follow the rules unless you know what they are? And why will you follow them unless you have some understanding of them and some faith in them? So this knowledge and faith place one in one of three categories of eligibility. Eligibility is called adhikar. Adhikar means standing or eligibility. Adhikari means the person who's eligible. So there are three categories. What are those three? Oh, Klaus, don't answer all the questions. Who else is there? Yeah. You're not even there? Jayadeva.
Kanishta, Majjhima, Uttama.
Kanishta, Majjhima, and Uttama. Correct. Yes. Uttama Adhikari is described by Srila Rupa Goswami. Shastra yukto cha nipuna sarvata vidhanishtraya praudhashadho Dikara, Dikari, ya, Sabhakta, Uttamo, Mataha. His characteristics are Shastra Yukto Cha Nipuna. Nipuna means expert. Nana Shastra Vicharane Nipuno. Nipuna means expert. He's expert in terms of Shastric arguments and yes, he's convinced in terms of Shastric understanding, and his faith is strong, praudhashraddha. So he's an uttamadhikara. Clear? And and Madhyam Adhikari, Yashastradish Vanipinam, Shatavan Sattu Madhyam. Shastradishu, in the Shastras, Anipuna, he's not so expert. But Shatavan, he's faithful. He's faithful. That means that he may sometimes be defeated in an argument because he's not so expert. He may not be able to answer. He may get picked up. But Shatavan, he knows that it's right. He just may not, he's not equipped to answer. His faith is strong, but his scriptural knowledge is not so strong. And yo pavet kamala shadha satkanishtodi nigatate. The Kanishta Adhikari has kamala shadha. Kamala shadha means soft, pliable faith. Not very, very solid. And it's implied that he also is not so expert in Shastra. So he's a neophyte devotee. He's a neophyte devotee. Clear? Clear? Okay. Not very difficult. Who's Kanishta, who's Madhyam, who's Uttam? Now there are other descriptions where Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Kanishta Adhikari are categorized in terms of different credentials. One place it said that if anyone who's just chanted Hare Krishna once, he's Kanishta. Anyone who's always chanting, he's Madhyam. And a person who when sees gets you chanting, he's Uttam. Then there are other criteria also, but here, Srila Rupa Goswami, and it's given again in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Who do we need? Categorizes these three categories of devotees in terms of their faith and their expertise or their familiarity, their conversance with Shastra. Yeah, this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1, 2, 17, 18, and 19. They're quoted in Madhya Lila. This is all quoted in instructions to Rupa Goswami. It's all quoted in instructions to Rupa Goswami. Okay. Let's see if there's something I missed here that I wanted to talk about. Do we see these? What's happening here? Do we see this in our practical affairs in the Krishna consciousness movement? Huh? You see these kind of people? First class, second class, third class? Yeah? Anyone who hasn't seen a third class devotee? And you know devotees who are like very faithful but don't know so much? Okay. And some who are, have strong faith and they're expert also? Yes?
Could you say that the people, would it be erroneous to say that all the people who came and left were Kanishta?
Who came? Came and left were Kanishta.
Because if they were on a higher level, they would fail.
Yeah. Why did they leave? Or somehow they lost their eligibility. They offended pure devotees, for example. It's not mentioned here, but I see no reason why you can't lose your eligibility. We find that. Someone who's it's mentioned later in Nectar of Devotion. You know, as we have the waxing moon of devotional service. Shreya Kareva Chandrika Vitarana. The Kirtan movement spreads the rays of the waxing moon. There's also the waning moon of devotional service. The waning moon is the moon that's afflicted by offenses, especially Vaishnava Aparad, Guru Aparad. By those aparads, your devotional service can shrink. So a person who is on a very high platform by offending the spiritual master, Nagatir Patoki, next thing you know, he's nowhere. As one can make great advancement, you know, just go to the head of the class by pleasing the pure devotee, one can go into the pits, into oblivion by displeasing the pure devotee. Yes, Yasya Prasada, not the pure devotee. There's nowhere. And that, we have to be careful, therefore we'll find Rupa Goswami warning us very carefully about aparaj, especially Guru Aparaj, Vaishnava Aparaj. Very important. People think that they, this, especially it's very interesting, there's this tendency, probably we were discussing yesterday, that a person who has faith makes more progress than a person who's simply accustomed to mental speculation and argumentative processes. Now, if you really want to cook your devotional service, take your tendency toward argumentative processes, put that together with the tendency to commit offenses to devotees, and you're really going to go somewhere. Best. You will go nowhere. Best. And it's mentioned in 11th canto, I think, 12th canto. That in Kali Yuga, this is like a sign of being a great soul, that you're arrogant. To be arrogant will be taken as a sign of you know, being a some sort of great person. You know, yeah, you really put it in his eye. You really told it like it is. You know, someone's just a impertinent, offensive fool, and in Kali Yuga he'll be accepted as, you know, a hotshot, a great, great person. So in that way one can ruin one's devotional service. He puts together all of his speculative and analytical and da-da-da-da-da-da, points it at devotees who are sincerely trying to spread the glories of the name all over the world, and ruins his own spiritual life. Then even if you're doing very well, all of a sudden the lights go out. Or not all of a sudden, gradually. And their histories are given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gopal Chapala and others who ruin their devotional service by Vaishnava. Now we come to the further discussion of neophyte devotees. These are Kanishtadikari. Kanishtadikari, by the way, is a great thing. At least he's got adhikar. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhe. Out of so many, hardly anyone's interested in Krishna. Yeah, even out of so many, hardly anyone's even interested in liberation. So you have someone who's eligible for devotional service, that's a great thing. Even to be a Kanishtadikari. Therefore, in the Nectar of Instruction, Krishneti yasya giditam manasadvieta, Srila Rupa Goswami says that if someone is a neophyte, that is, he's chanted Hare Krishna, we have to offer him respects, at least within the mind, we have to think, oh, he's chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna wants. Oh. So it's not that we're meant to just sell Kanishadhara. Of course, Kanishadhara is not such a good platform compared to Madhyam and Uttam. But still, at least he's, you know, he's in the house. And everybody else is outside on the street. At least he's inside. And if he gets closer to the fire, he'll, you know, dry out and become warm and maybe catch fire himself. Mm-hmm.
How true is the saying that a person with a Kanishta is qualified to live in the tree of the generation?
Loud.
I'm saying, how true is the saying that a person who is...
How shall we? How true is the saying, yes.
That a person who is a Kanishta can liberate about three of his
A person who's a Kanishta can liberate three of his generations. Where's that particular thing?
I'm not sure either.
But even a Kanishtadakari can do good for others. He can go out, and, even if his faith isn't strong, even if his knowledge isn't strong, still he tentatively says to people, you know, please take this book. Mm-hmm. Why should I take it? It's good. It tells about Krishna. Krishna is God. Well, why is Krishna God? He's just God. He's God. Are you sure he's God? Well, anyway, take the book. Somehow or other, he gives the person a book. And even if his own faith isn't so strong, even if his knowledge isn't so strong, he's doing some devotional service, and because he's doing some service, what happens? His faith gets stronger, his knowledge gets stronger. How does a Kanishtadakari become a Madhyamadakari, a Nitamadakari? By association and by service. So even a Madhyamadakari can do good for others. And there's so many demons, there's so many agnostics, there's so many impersonalists. Here's a person who's he's a devotee of Krishna. And Kanishtadakari is definitely a devotee. He's passed the minimum eligibility test. It's the minimum eligibility test, but he's eligible. You know, just like those, you know, a pilot who's, you know, he's licensed as long as there's another pilot in the plane. You know, they have different levels of licenses. You know, there's a guy who can fly any airplane in the sky, anytime he wants, by himself, do anything, because he's, you know, and there's somebody who can fly such and such classes of airplane under certain conditions. And then there's a guy, he can fly in clear weather with another pilot sitting next to him. But he's a pilot. And the rest of the guys can't even get in the cockpit. He's a neophyte. He's a beginner. But he's in. So we have to respect even the beginners in devotional service. They're so much better than even the most advanced materialists, the most advanced yogis, mayavadis. He's somehow come bahunam janmanam ante, come to the point of devotional service. Not a small thing. But we have to respect even the neophytes. Yes? Where are you reading, so I can... Tell me where you're reading.
16. It's on Waves of Devotion.
Waves, page 16. Remind me your name also.
Yadavendra Gopal.
Yadavendra Gopal, okay. Page 16, 6D, 6-0. People generally think of renunciation as a prerequisite for beginning spiritual life. That part?
Yeah.
But for devotional service is not required. In fact, too much renunciation can be an impediment to bhakti. Okay, what's your question about that?
But for pure devotional service, one must become renounced.
For pure devotional service, yes.
So
therefore,
this the main difference between kanishtha and kanishtha?
No, it's one difference, definitely. The differences pointed out here are in terms of faith, and of course faith means when I have faith and I have knowledge, what happens?
Renounce.
I have faith that, you know, sense gratification, as told by my spiritual master, is a dead end, it's a loser. I know it, I believe it. What happens? I'm going to ditch it. Especially when my heart is purified. Otherwise I may know it, I may believe it, but I can't really do much about it. Even though I know, even though I believe, still I'm attached. And that's the position, that may be the position of the neophyte. Prabhupada said, even if he's attached, he's not ready to follow all the principles, he's not ready to do all these things, he's not very renounced, he still wants sense gratification. But he has some attraction to the message, or attraction to Krishna, and he has some faith. Okay, we can work with this guy. Person who walks in the door, he's super renounced, but he has no faith, and he's not attracted to Krishna. We can't do much with him. He's not really a candidate. Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. You know, he's a dry Mayavadi, he's super renounced, but he's got no attraction to Krishna. He's not as good a candidate as the person who may still be attached to sense gratification, who may not have much knowledge, but is attracted. And he's attracted to Krishna. Because that attraction can be the beginning of his engagement. Especially when he gets the mercy of renunciation is basically a material situation. I'm attached, I'm renounced. That's my material circumstance. But attraction to Krishna is transcendental substance. So if someone's attracted to Krishna, that's more important. How renounced are you? How is that? Renunciation is good, although too much renunciation is not good.
Mm-hmm. Actually, also in the Way of Devotion, on page 63, mm-hmm. at the end there's a conclusion, and there are explained three different stages of qualifications, and there's a qualification for the beginning devotional service. This is just the mercy, but it's even Abhyas Kriti. Then there's the second qualification for making advancement in devotional services is faith and knowledge. And then there's this third stage of qualification for pure devotional service. And there is liberation from the bodily concept is required.
Yeah.
And abandon all desires which are not for Krishna.
Yeah. So you're reading the conclusion. We're going to come to those conclusions by working our way up there. Okay, let's look a little bit more into the neophyte devotees. These are the Kanishtha devotees. They're described where? Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Where? Seventh chapter. What's the verse? Loud, everyone. Thank you. Four kinds of neophytes. Who are they?
In Israel.
person in distress, person who is inquisitive, loud, anyone who's not loud.
Arta-arti, seeking for the way.
Arta-arti, yeah, looking for wealth. And?
Jnani,
person who's after knowledge. And who are the exemplars? Examples of these four? Starting with, actually these four are hierarchical. The guys who are looking, who are trying to get free from distress, they're on the first level. Right? Then those who are, am I right?
Looking for money second.
Looking for money second. Then Jnani, Jigyasu is next. And then Jnani. Then, do I have it right? Let me just check that. Doesn't sound so right. Let me just hold on a second. As the person who wants freedom from distress, and Artarti is the person who's looking for happiness. Of those Artartis, there's two kinds. There are those who are looking for immediate, immediate thing, and those who are looking for unlimited happiness. Similarly, with those who are looking for an end to distress. There are those who are just, get me out of this, and those who are saying, why am I suffering? Let me get free from all distress. And higher. And Jigyasu, curious, inquisitive, and Jnani, they have some knowledge of the pursuit of knowledge. Okay. Now, where was I before I broke into that?
Are you talking about these four examples?
So who are those four examples?
Gajendra.
What? Distress.
Dhruva
Maharaj, looking for wealth. Jnani, Jigyasu? No. No. Jigyasu, inquisitive. Sages of Naimisharanya. Yes, what's your name?
Vigneshwara.
You're new. You weren't here the first day.
I was here the second
day. Second day, that's why I don't have you in my crypt sheet. Vigneshwara. Where are you from?
Malaysia.
Yes, the sages. They're inquisitive. They had all sorts of, they have questions, and questions. And the Kumaras were Jnanis. They knew a lot. They were learned knowers of the truth. Okay. Some questions? Sukadev Goswami. clarify? Is that in the neophyte group? Oh, that time, yeah. Yeah, previously. Okay, Gannon. He wasn't looking for relief from distress. He wasn't just inquisitive. He wasn't looking for money. Gannon.
He came into contact with devotional service when his father started to recite him.
Therefore, the key thing for all of these groups is what?
Association.
Mercy of Krishna. Gajendra was able to pray to the Lord by Krishna's mercy. He remembered something, devotional service. The Dhruva Maharaj got the mercy of the Lord by the grace of Narad Muni. The sages, same thing, they got the association of Suta Goswami, heard the message of Bhagavatam. And the Kumaras got the mercy of the Lord.
And they become such a great personality, such a big devotee, in such a short moment.
By the mercy of the Lord, everything can happen. Narad Muni, a little short time, got the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas, became Narad Muni. So even the neophytes, the Dhruva Maharaj, he got, again, the mercy of Narad Muni. Came great to look to.
Also Kumaras.
Kumaras, they just smelled the tulsi, they became great devotees.
Such a great devotee. In that moment.
Just like that. Beginners can be elevated to the second class or first class platform if they associate with pure devotees. That's the point that Prabhupada makes.
Yesterday we spoke about that when somebody makes quick progress, it usually means that he performed service before.
Yeah, but even if he didn't make progress before, if he is fortunate enough to associate with pure devotees, very quickly he's elevated to the second class or first class platform. But one thing is the material that you bring with you, the credits, the assets, and then the next thing is getting that mercy of Vaishnava Sangha. The association of a sadhu, Vaishnava, pure devotee.
Example, the story of Shiva's Kapoor, the tailor. The tailor sewing cloth for Shiva's Kapoor. The guy is the sewing cloth for Shiva's Kapoor.
Uh-huh.
But Chaitanya gave him affection.
Yeah. Because he pleased the devotee, he rendered service to a devotee. Sian Mahat Sevaya Vibra. Very quickly by serving a pure devotee. Therefore it's emphasized, sadhu sangha, sarvashastra. Mahiyasham padra jodhi shakti. Unless one bathes one's body with the dust from the feet of a pure devotee, how can he? So this is crucial. Yes? No doubt about it. That's why he was, you know, he told Narad Muni, that's why he went to the forest instead of, you know, just staying home and crying. Went to the forest, told Narad Muni, you know, if you can't tell me how to find Narayan, you go home. He was a country, he was, you know, tough teens. He was strong stuff. He was a Kshatriya, no doubt about it. Son of a Kshatriya, he was a Kshatriya. And what class was he in? Searching for knowledge? Well, so he, in the Varnashram, he was in the third section. Kshatriya, but among the Neophytes he was in the second group.
It's a general thing.
I've never heard it before. I don't know where it comes from. Somebody shows me a text, we'll talk about it again.
Because the Kumaras, they were like Brahmanas, and Goswamis Brahmanas, and they were, they happened in the Jnani approach.
Yeah, and the sages of Naimisharanya were Brahmins, and they were Jigyasu.
Yeah.
So now we have two examples that go against your premise.
And Gajendra was too.
Well, Gajendra wasn't even a human being. He wasn't even a Shudra, he was an animal. Yeah, the problem of the theory is that there are examples that contradict it. So I don't know, you know, maybe there's something I'm missing, but I've never heard it from Prabhupada, I've never seen it in the books, and there are examples that indicate that it may not be the best, the soundest conception. Yes.
Maharaj, I'm a little confused. You spoke about this personalities as neophytes,
mm-hmm.
and in Waves of Devotion, there's this sentence, these are undoubtedly exalted souls, yet they did not possess the minimum eligibility, Kanishta Adhikari.
I'm confused about that also, and in fact, someone should remind me, I should write to Dhananar Maharaj about it. Because he's very clearly said these people are like sub-neophyte.
They're not even
Kanishta Adhikaris. And Nectar of Devotion very clearly says that they're neophytes. And in my, I've got a copy of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu with some commentary, and it appears from there also that they're in the neophyte category. So I don't know why that
this isn't an excellent
inconsistency is there.
You don't understand the real objective of life.
Yeah, I understand his reasoning why he's putting them there as sub-neophyte. I'm sure he's got some authority for it, but I would have to, you know, when I was reading it this morning, I was telling myself I should write this down in my language about it because it does not match. And of course, sometimes that's the way it is with Shastra. That, you know, one acharya has one way of looking at it, and another acharya has another way of looking at it. Or the same acharya looks at it one way in the morning and another way in the afternoon. You know, that's, we've got to get used to that. It's not that it's always one way to look at it. Therefore, Admarama Shloka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described in, what, 64 different ways. You know, Atma means this, but it also means that, it means this, it means this. You can look at it this way. In other words, 64 different meanings. You know, the verse didn't mean one thing, it meant 64 different things. Depending on how you broke the words apart, how you matched what meanings you gave them, how you put them together with what. You got 64 different meanings from one verse. And he said, now I'm just getting started. So there may be differences of opinion among different acharyas about how to see something, how to read something. But in any case, it does not match here what Srila Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, where he does clearly say that they are neophytes. Now, on page 31, you don't have to go searching for it, but Prabhupada explains that these four kinds of persons are pious. Chatur vidha bhajante imam jana sukriti. Sukriti means pious activity. And our charges have indicated that this pious activity is not just ordinary pious activity, but they must have had some good fortune of being blessed by the touch of a pure devotee. Otherwise, Prabhupada said they couldn't come to devotional service. They couldn't come to devotional service. Or even taking it, yes, the pious, they'll come. Yesham tantakatam papam jananam punyakramanam. Tejvandu moha nirmukta bhajante mandu. To come to devotional service, one has to stop sinful activities and has to have performed pious activities. Hmm? Then one can engage in devotional service. And Prabhupada comments, if he's not pious, then when he's in one of these four situations, he does something else. If he's in distress, he takes drugs, or he commits suicide, or he does something else sinful. If he's in need of wealth, he robs a bank. Mm-hmm. Hits an old lady over the head and steals her pocketbook. Embezzles from the bank, whatever it is. Forges checks. Opens a sex shop, Something. He's in need of money, so he's not going to pray to God. That's stupid. He's just going to go for it. Direct. There's no God. It all depends on you. Beg, borrow, or steal. Somehow get tea. If he's inquisitive, he'll inquire from the wrong people and ask the wrong questions. And he's looking for knowledge. Again, he looks in the wrong place. He becomes addicted to mental speculation. He becomes an impersonalist, or he gets involved in some mundane political or social or philanthropic. You meet these people, they've got great minds, and it's all invested in some stupid thing. Why? They don't have piety. They're lacking pious credit. So they're smart, or they're enterprising, or they're this, or they're that. Or they ought to come to Krishna consciousness because they're in distress and Krishna consciousness would help them so much. Or they're in need of, just getting their life together. Krishna consciousness would help them so much. They're looking for the truth. Krishna consciousness would, but they're not pious. Because of sinful activities, they just can't come. They get involved in something sinful that appears to answer their need, but in fact makes things worse. Becomes a communist, who becomes an agnostic, who becomes something. Then, udara sarva evaite jnani tatmaiva menyatam. Krishna says, of all these four, tesham jnani nityukta eka bhakti vishishita. Among these four kinds of neophytes, the jnani is special. Because he's actually he's interested in devotional service. The person who's looking for money, he comes, he gets the money, and he goes. Person who's looking for an end to distress gets free from distress. Thank you very much. Person who's inquisitive. Okay, I was curious. Now I know. But the person who's situated in knowledge, Krishna says, "Priyo hi gyanino tyartham aham sachan." He's dear to me, and I'm dear to him. He becomes attracted to the absolute truth, Krishna. He's not interested simply in something to improve his material condition. He actually wants the truth. So, therefore Krishna, jnani tatmaiva menyatam, astita sahyuktatma mamivara samana katim, bahunam janmanamante jnanamahamam. After many, many births, one actually may come to the point of being such a jnani. Vasudeva Sarvati. Krishna is everything. Let me surrender to Krishna. Okay? Where are we in our... We're not even going to take our break today because we're... You don't need to break, right? Anyone needs to break? Okay, no breaks for... And they say no rest for the wicked. Okay. Probably. Prabhupada says the Gyani, from the very beginning, his basic principle is attachment, of attachment to Krishna, is more or less love. He's interested in Krishna. And because he's wise and he's studying Shastras, he could understand that Krishna is the personality of God. So he's the best.
What is this in the translation? Prabhupada's translation is he's inquisitive, but doesn't that mean he's inquisitive about the absolute truth?
He's inquisitive, therefore it's good. He's next to the Gyani.
But what is the technical kind of difference?
Jigyasu means inquiring, and Gyani means he has knowledge.
So what is the, why is the Gyani coming to Krishna? Because he's searching for knowledge, he already has knowledge.
Well, Prabhupada explains next, I believe. The wise man is one who's thoroughly understood that he's spirit, soul, and not simply a body. Jigyasa may not know that. He's inquisitive, he's curious, he wants to know about the truth. But the Gyani knows, I'm not this body, I'm spirit, soul, where do I go from here? Or he goes beyond that, he knows, I'm not this body, I'm spirit, soul, Krishna is the Supreme. So let me do something. Since Krishna is Supreme, let me engage in his service.
Well, just this searching for knowledge for everything.
Searching means he's inquisitive. He's searching. He's not on that platform about, you know, what's life for? Why am I here? You know, the seekers. You go out there to the world and, you know, there are people who are, you know, oh man, life is crummy. I don't know. You know, I'm sick of this. You know, they're just in distress. And you say, well, chant Hare Krishna, and your life will be sublime. If they're fortunate, they may take it. You know, you'll get free from your anxiety if you just chant Hare Krishna. Yeah? If he's impious, he chants Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. If he's pious, he chants Hare Krishna. Then somebody else, he hears that, you know, if I join the Hare Krishna movement, you know, I'll get a green card. He's not so interested in Krishna, but a green card wouldn't be bad to have. You know, and maybe a European wife, or, you know, whatever it is. Or, you know, not that those are the only people who are looking for some economic solution. If there's an example, you know, they're coming to Krishna, but they're coming to Krishna to better their station in life. You know, I'm living out here on the street in New York, and you know, they've got a temple and it's warm and they have hot soup, and you know, they come every day and stay all day and ask if I could stay over the night. You know, really, they're why are they coming? They don't have a place to live, and you know. Or, you know, there's something about their life out there is really uncomfortable, and the temple is so much nicer. They're coming for that. Yeah, well, you know, they should need to be handled in such a way that Prabhupada said that our temples don't become places of lazies and crazies. So it's not that we're just a free boarding house. But we give such people an opportunity. We may say, no, you can't. That was our policy in our New York temple for many years, that if you wanted to come, you had to really show you were sincere. You had to come every day. You know, you couldn't just move in the ashram. You had to come every day. And there were people who trekked, you know, from every day, from far away places, to come to the temple. You know, come to all the programs, and then, you know, after a while, you can stay. Not that we turn you away, because we know that you're not on the highest platform. Come to the classes, come to the Sunday feast, come take some books, begin chanting, show your, you know, you have an interest, increase that. And then, if, you know, even though you may have come in the beginning because it was a warm place, okay, you know, come get warm for a couple hours, then go back out and come again. Even the crazies can come. We have many examples of people who are really Looney Tunes. They were really crazy. And still they became very nice devotees. jnanis, they're special. They're really coming because they know. So jigyasu, they're seekers. You know, there are people out there. You know, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? There's got to be something more, and so on and so on. But they don't specifically have the. They may not even know that they're this, that they're not this body. You know, they're looking for the truth, and they're, you know, they found a girl who's also looking for the truth, and you know, whatever it is. But they're looking. Good candidates. Good candidates. A person who's looking for the truth is a great candidate. Would you like to meet a person on the street who's, you know, who's looking for the truth? Sure you would. Even the person who said, you know, so where are you coming in from? I'm coming in from the worst place in the world. My life is a mess. I don't know what I'm, you know, there's a candidate. We've got something for you. Your life is a mess. You're everything, you're feeling like you're going to kill yourself. And isn't that? No, we have a message for you. We have a good message for you. But a person who's you know, looking for knowledge, we, you know, hey, you came to the right place. You're our guy. You are definitely a candidate. You're not looking for money. You're not looking for a place to stay. You're looking for knowledge. Ooh. You're seeking. Then a person is actually, you know, I've realized that the material world is, you know, no place for me because I'm not, you know, I realize I'm not this body, but I'm, you know, there's got to be more than just matter. You must have performed a lot of pious activities in your previous life. You've made some advancement. You think this material world is like not the place? There's got to be a... Okay. So Prabhupada comments. It's concluded that a person who's freed from the bodily concept of life is an eligible candidate for pure devotional service. And Prabhupada cites Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochati nakanshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktin mabhadeva. Who can attain to pure devotional service? The person who's knows that I'm not this body, that I'm spirit soul. Who's freed from hankering and lamenting. Who sees all living beings equally. He's really a candidate. So these are the best candidates. The person who's a jnani, Krishna says, he's a special. You know, he's among the neophytes, he is the most eligible neophyte. He has the greatest adhikar. Okay. Now, in the little time that's left to us, now there's some discussion about liberation. Actually, there's a discussion of material happiness and liberation. And the conclusion there is they're both trouble. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hiri vartate tavat bhakti sukasyatra katam abhyudayo vadet. How can the happiness of bhakti arise in the heart as long as the witch of desire for enjoyment and liberation remains in the heart? Okay, so if we really want to go somewhere in devotional service, then we have to be, finally we have to get free from these two, from the ghosts and witches. A ghost person who's haunted by a ghost, or a person who's afflicted by a witch, these people can't control themselves. I think that's quoted. Yes, it is. It's the next verse of Bhakti Rasamrita. Tachapi cha visheshena gatim anvim anichchataha bhakti hitamana pranan premnatan guru tejana. The bhakti processes, such as hearing, steal away by prema the mind and senses of the four types of persons who do not desire at all the goal of liberation. Hearing and chanting and everything, they can win your heart, but not if your heart is after these two what is elsewhere described as Narottam Das Thakur as poison pots. The poison pot of liberation and the poison pot of material sense gratification. Then there begins some quotations that Srila Prabhupada is giving. Prabhupada is quotes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I don't want liberation, I just want service." Bilba Mangal Thakur, who says, "Because I'm engaged in service, liberation is begging me to take her." Then, quoting Lord Kapildev, quoting Uddhava, right? Is Uddhava quoted here? Kapildev. Uddhava is quoted in Bhakti-rasamrita-sindhu. So that's skipped here. Kapildev is quoted. Andrew Maharaj. And all the points are the same. The one who's attracted to Krishna, his qualities, his features, will not be attracted to liberation. Or alternatively, a person who's too much addicted to liberation will have a hard time being attracted to Krishna. It affects his eligibility. If a person is simply after sense gratification or simply after liberation, how is he going to take to devotional service? Liberation meaning that liberation of merging with the Supreme. The idea of liberation from the bodily concept of life is favorable. In fact, a person freed from the bodily concept is an eligible candidate for pure devotional service. So it's not that we're against that. The liberation that we have a problem with is, I'm drop, I'll become the ocean. I'm the drop, make me the ocean. That's the last snare of Maya. And as long as we're attracted to that, devotional service is not really. Once was bad, twice is very bad. Whatever it is, I don't care what the clock says, keep your damn mobile on. Yes.
I'm wondering also about the classification. About the Ruchi, Nishtan Ruchi level.
Yes.
How to put in this classification.
Nishtan Ruchi? You're not going to see Nishtan Ruchi at this level. These are neophytes. Neophytes mean these are people who are getting in the door. This is Shraddha. Ado Shraddha. Yeah, these people, these are the beginning candidates. They're eligible. Kanishtadikaris. They're eligible. So they've got some Shraddha. They've got some interest, some faith. Nishta, Ruchi, these are, you know, that comes later. That comes later. These are people who've got interest. You know, someone walks in the door, you don't expect that that person is going to have unshakable faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. You don't even expect them to have an artha nivritti. You know, usually, there'll be some anarthas here. First thing is Shraddha. Then, now because he's got some Shraddha, he's come into the association of devotees, Sadhu Sangha, and by Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. He takes up the methods of devotional service that we're going to be discussing in coming days. He places himself under proper guidance, bona fide spiritual master, takes up the different practices, gives up unwanted things, takes up those things that are helpful. Then heart becomes freed from anartas. Then strong faith. Then nishtha comes. Then ruchi.
But nishtha and ruchi are madhyamadhikari level?
Nishtha, ruchi, madhyamadhikari level. Gee, I never thought about correlating the two between that way. Nishtha, ruchi. It's just not characterized in terms of nishtha ruchi here. Maybe some acharyas have commented that these adhikar levels are calculated in terms of knowledge of shastra and faith. Yeah, so we start bringing in, well, is it ruchi or is it nishtha? Is it narta? There may be some acharyas who have commented on that, but I haven't. Being a Madhyamadhikari, I don't know all the shastra. Yes.
And can we also say that we have actually also mixtures, actually? You know, when somebody comes to his class, where he comes to this,
these levels of shraddha, nishtha, these things?
No,
Madhyam.
This four people or four sukriti.
Yeah, everything, these are categories. I mean, we're dealing with living entities. So living entity is not simply something that's got, you know, four sides and some screws and nails. You know, it's not something that's meant to fit in a particular box. But, you know, it has its characteristics. And in terms of, you know, we classify things. We say this is first class, this is second class, this is third class. We say this is right and this is left. Now, you know, is this right or is it left? Well, it's 2 degrees right. You know, is it north or is it, you know, India's, well, let's think about it. It's, well, mostly north of the equator, right? And some of it's, no, it's all north of the equator. You know, there are places that are on the equator, there's places that are all north, there's places that are 80% north, there's places, you know, equatorial, what's an equatorial, you know, we say it's a equatorial climate. Now is this particular place an equatorial climate, or is it, you know, is it tropical or subtropical? You know, exactly at what point does it stop being tropical and become sub? You know, so categorization, these are measures, and measures are not exact. You know, even a micron is not exact. You know, it's an approximation of something. So we have, or just like we say, a child. Now, a baby, then a child, then a this, then a that. Now, you know, is this child still a baby? Is he, you know, out of babyhood? So, you know, we have some standards. You know, once he's 32, we know he's not a baby anymore. But when he's on the edge, we may look at him as somebody, you know, somebody sees him as a baby, somebody sees him as a child, somebody, you know, or somebody past that, someone still sees him as a child, someone sees him as a grown-up. So it means you can look, depends how you look at it. But still these, you know, in the legal world, if you're a child, they deal with you one way. If you're a grown-up, they look at you another way. And if you're, you know, sometimes they look at him and they say, well, how should we deal with this guy? Like a child or like a grown-up? Right? And, you know, the kid's life may depend on which way they're. Anyway, these are categories. And categories are categories. They're not... A person is not just a set of categories. These things have life. You know, finally, it's all about the loving relationship between the living being and the supreme living being. And along the way, we make, you know, little markers and say, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here. But if we only think in terms of categories, some will get stuck also. We look at a person and say, oh, he's a neophyte. You know, we've got a certain picture in our mind, he's a neophyte. We put him in the neophyte box in our little mind. because that's what human beings do, we categorize them. There he's a neophyte. Okay, there he is in the neophyte box. The next thing you know, he just, you know, zoomed past you. Or you committed an offense to him because you thought he was a neophyte. And you didn't realize that he was quite a bit more than a neophyte. You put him in the wrong box. Or he outgrew the box, you know, whatever it is. So we should be a little careful that we're not just, you know, we want these categories. They help us navigate the territory, you know, see where we are in this ocean of devotional service to, you know, make our way through it. But it's not all maps, you know, just like the, you know, experienced captain, he's not just looking at the map. You know, he's got the feel for what the air is like. He hears the sound of the seagulls. You know, it's all so many things. The maps, it's not that now the maps don't matter. If the map says you're in Zanzibar, well, no, I think we're in Antarctica. The maps matter. But there's more to the ocean than maps. The maps are very, very important, and especially when we're not, you know, experienced devotees, when we're just trying to figure out where we are, maps are extremely important. So we should take advantage of these understandings given to us by Srila Rupa Goswami, by Srila Prabhupada. But we shouldn't be disconcerted or shocked or disoriented when we find that sometimes things are not judged according to the familiar categories that we have in mind. Okay? All right, thank you all very much. Do I need someone to help me? Toto seems to be on top of it. Toto Gopinath. Thank you. Does someone know the evening RT schedule now that Dhamidhar month is over? RT is at 6, we think. Yeah, that's what it's been. I'm just wondering whether it changes now. Whether it changed for Dhamidhar Mahat, or it's changing back, or stories. Okay, here you be.